The following original talk show is rated S. Secession content may be upsetting to listeners who chant USA! USA! After the New England Patriots score a touchdown, Regal Cinema moviegoers' discretion is advised.
Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Welcome to another episode of the Mark Kreslin Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network Radio, the way it should be. I'm hoping you're willing to join the Mark Kreslin Show Expeditionary Force, being out there helping your fellow man unplug the Matrix cable from the back of their head and get about the business of restoring freedom here in hashtag the exceptional American Union, or so we call it. I'm glad you joined us. We're live. That means you can call anytime you'd like at 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. My website is markkreslins.com. You can go there anytime you'd like and see my occasional commentary. I now put my show prep over there. I've got a tab called Show Prep, and you can see the topics we're going to try to get through on any given day, the guest we have coming up. And by the way, I've got a great guest coming up at 3 o'clock. I had a great one yesterday, someone who is preparing to expatriate himself from the United States. He is going to be heading south into Ecuador next year. He and I continued our conversations, and I understand it. He has taken the pilgrimage that many of us are on to the extraordinary conclusion of where it may have to be for many of us if we cannot fix hashtag the American Union by breaking it up. And just as he and I were talking about this morning, Steve and I were talking this morning, you know, a great deal of the disruption in the world today originates here in our exceptional union. We are at war with somebody all the time. We're threatening somebody all the time. And from his perspective, having been fairly well-traveled down in Latin America, it's funny how people don't look at us that way. You know, the Ecuadorian military does not desire to sail its sixth fleet up here and attack the United States, attack Texas. These hegemony interests and passions seem to be just in us. I think it's time for us as a people here, even as Christians in hashtag the exceptional American Union, to begin to examine why. Could there be a strain of arrogance here within us as a people that compel us to believe we now have to project what we consider to be democratic rule around the world? Oddly enough, not by persuasion, but by projection of military force. We see it in almost all of our dialogue here in the American Union, don't you? We talk about secession, and what is the first impulse? Ah, we're going to kill a few hundred thousand Oklahomans if you guys try to secede, just like we did back in the 1860s. You see, the whole psyche is wrong here. Certainly for Christians, we cannot embrace these ideas. So you'll see some of my commentary over there. The guest I have coming on today, had a great one yesterday, the guest I have today at 3, is a Chinese national woman, a person that I befriended, my family befriended years ago. She's going to tell a story, a horrific story, about total government control in China. You won't want to miss this. And if we don't stop it here now, folks, if we don't care if Donald Trump is at the helm of it, I don't care. The system of government is broken. You recall that when I went to the booth, I wrote in, I don't consent to the system of government, because it's the system of government that is the problem, that creates the opportunity for these megalomaniacs to get in power. And then, as you're going to hear at 3 o'clock, people die from these people. People die. This is not some trivial game about winning an election. Now, I tend to think, and I continue to hold on to some hope, that Trump could be a transformative figure, because I don't think he suffers from the same kind of megalomania that we see in most political hacks that desire to get into power. You remember Ted Cruz talking about turning the Middle East into glass, remember? Well, you know what those glass fragments would be made up of? Some of those would be innocent human beings that got in the way. We cleverly call collateral damage, just like we call it's not abortion, Kreslin's. It's just a clump of cells. You see how we modify the language? We change words, folks. It cannot be this way. At least it cannot be this way and pretend to be exceptional. I don't want to ever hear that word again. Now, that may take me down to 2 listeners. I don't care. Folks, you have to understand, my faith informs my thinking. My citizenship is actually in heaven, not in a sanctuary city somewhere, and not in this. I'm not a citizen of America. The closest thing I'm a citizen to anything is Oklahoma. My faith informs me of that. It tells me that in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We've got to go on the offense here, folks. I'm telling you that if we don't go on the offense, and the offense ultimately, in my view, ends in secession, and there's some good news going on around the world. Italy is going to vote this weekend. That may lead to the ultimate end of the EU. That will be a good thing. Why? Because there are megalomaniacs, narcissistic sociopaths in Brussels. This Sunday, pay attention. Watch the news this weekend. If the no vote wins there, you see, the sneaky little megalomaniacs in Italy want to sneak through a referendum to where only the lower house of their parliament needs to vote to approve the president's policies. How's that for a constitutional change that rips representation out of the hands of the people? The people are fed up with it over there. They're fed up with it. What is it going to take here? You see, folks, I'm not just fed up at the Democrats. That would be intellectually inconsistent for me now, wouldn't it? That would be morally inconsistent. I'm upset at the whole system of government. I think it's crummy. I think it's junk. I think it's horrible. I think we have let people masquerade this government as some kind of constitutional government. Hardly. So this Friday show, the culmination of this week, it's been a long week, folks. I am exhausted. But it is going to be no less provocative today. In ways, it may be more provocative because I am sick of it. I have no interest in nibbling around the edges. I am swinging for the fence. I want to create a vision in the listeners out there of a time where your state, just your state, don't worry about other states. And I'm sorry if you live in a crummy state that will not change. You know, one of the things I see out there is, you know, there are some states that if we can get this vision going, and I think we can, by the way, there are some states here in the South that can begin to imagine regaining control of their borders. But I'm already seeing when you talk that way, there are people that are in crummy states. They want to continue to fight on the 50-state platform. Oh, no, no, Kremlins, we've got to fix all. Kremlins, we're a nation. We got to fix all 50 states. And we've got Donald Trump in there. We're taking over. Why? Because they live in a crummy state. They live in a state that they know will not secede. They live in a state where, yes, they agree with the moral framework that I discussed, with the idea of little r republicanism and a restoration of federalism and borders actually mattering. They believe, but they know in their state it doesn't matter. And so they actually make it harder for those of us here in Oklahoma that want to leave, because they don't live in Oklahoma. They don't see any possibility in their state. Maryland, there's no chance Maryland is going to secede from the Union. Now, if 15 states in the South secede, if California secedes, they will secede. Only because the whole Union will break apart at that point. And I'm going to get to some California news here. I'm telling you, this is serious, folks. This ain't kidding around anymore. I'll tell you, I'm going to read a report here a little bit later in the show. There are big things happening right under our feet, right under our noses. And it has nothing to do with sanctuary cities and the debates between whether Trump's going to do this or that to somebody. We don't fully realize it yet, but the entire thing is coming apart. Italy is just another piece of the puzzle that's going to drop this weekend, Sunday. They are going to vote, and the vote is likely to go favorable towards events that will eventually lead to Brexit. Their Brexit, what would you call it? It exit? It'll exit? I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. Whatever they call it. It's not the same reasons that the UK exited, but the result will be another blow towards the megalomaniacs in Brussels. When will we understand, when will we understand it's the megalomaniacs in Washington, D.C.? When will we stop seeing this through a right-left paradigm? When? Well, sadly, other countries appear to be leading the way on some of this. Shame on us. But I'm telling you, as much as I can see the sun coming up in the east and setting in the west, this whole populist world, global populist movement is just gaining speed. I hope we're not the last to the dance. I hope we're not. But as I read and hear the coveting people from around the country that know that their state won't leave, I'm sorry. Come down here. Help us. Move to California. Help them. Because the answer is getting back control of the borders. You cannot possibly prevail in some federal court. It won't. This at times gets exhausting. And as my guest is going to tell you, when you don't stop government and you let it work its final ambitions that is usually controlled by megalomaniac, narcissistic, sycophant sociopaths, people die. Innocent people die. Folks, there needs to be a reordering of our thinking on all of this. This has been one of the great shames in the Christian community, if you ask me. And I say this as an evangelical Christian. This narrative, this historical narrative, without a shred of proof that Christian in God's providence, I mean, that America in God's providence is some special creation of his. of course, in God's sovereignty, he allows nations to rise and fall. They do it all the time. I am not going to say that God caused Sharia that is lived out in Saudi Arabia. He created that. Stop and think about some of the statements we make. When we try to take a passage of Scripture and apply it to the 21st century. Are you really going to say that God raised up the nation of the Soviet Union? Did God do that? Were they up in, did the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit up in heaven say, you know, we need a little evil on the world right now. Let's form Joseph Stalin. Or how about let's create a guy named Pol Pot and let's help him raise up the nation of Cambodia. I mean, come on. God is not an author of confusion. The Bible says this should not be confusing to us. So yes, God allows nations to rise and fall all the time. Just like if you slam your finger in the drawer, could God have stopped you from slamming your finger in the drawer? No. Yes, he could. The reality is you probably should have been paying a little more attention before you slammed your finger in the drawer. What is this incessant desire we have to try to blame everything on him in a fallen world? Go back to the garden experience. Do we really want to say God made Eve to disobey? And then Adam to cowardly follow afterwards? What is this? Well, this is a victimization of the fallen man, isn't it? Well, it's really not my fault. It's God's fault. He raised up Hitler. No, he didn't. In the fallen world we live in, where man was given the most dangerous yet pleasant gift of all, the ability to freely choose, affected by the fall of man in our thinking, megalomaniacs show up. Sycophants show up. Sometimes even cloaked in Christianity. Sociopaths show up and they say, I'm the appointed one. And we don't have enough discernment to say, oh, no, you're not. This has been the great damage done to the Christian community in the exceptional American Union. We've been trained to believe that we are exceptional. We're a special people, just like, you know what, kind of just like the Jews are special in God's creative order. No, we're not. Because when you make a statement like that, it is now incumbent upon you to prove your point. Otherwise, don't make the statement. Again, as I said yesterday on the air, a couple days ago on the air, I can prove the nation of Israel. I can turn to Genesis chapter 15. I can read the borders for you. There's a uniqueness to the Jewish people. There always will be. But I'm not a Jew. I'm a little Dutch. I'm a little bit German. Probably a little bit of English in there somewhere. I don't have Jewish heritage. And there was no nation called America specially formed in the Scriptures. You have to call me 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723, and prove that. If you're going to make the assertion God supernaturally created America when you can prove he did it to one nation, prove that he did it to America. Prove. Don't give me, don't call me with nostalgic ideas of the fog that protected Washington's retreat from Brooklyn Heights. That's lazy thinking. You know, we still have fog today, guys. It's a meteorological phenomena. Could that have been God? Sure. Can you prove it? No. Stop speaking on behalf of the Lord when you can't prove it. And feelings don't prove anything. It's one of the great the American experiential living. We wonder why. Why do we have a 50% divorce rate? Because people don't feel like I love my wife anymore. It's not that complicated. Only in America can we complicate the uncomplicated. I'll bet you 90% of divorces end up because people feel like they fell out of love. Well, love is an action. Hollywood tells you it's a feeling. My gosh, my wife and I are getting old. Who we were 30 years ago is not who we are now. Heaven help her if she married me for my good looks. But my wife loves me. She does it and shows it in acts all the time. I love her. In spite of the fact she sins a lot and I can't get her to stop. Just kidding. But I love her. It's an action. It's a choice. It's a volitional choice I make to wake up and tell her I love her. Are there days I don't? Yeah, because I'm a selfish being. But I also recognize I'm a selfish being, and I'm not to honor God. I need to stop being selfish. This isn't hard. Why do we have this massive divorce rate in Western civilization? Because it's all about feelings. How do I feel at some given point? Only in America can we jump marriage to marriage to marriage to make us happy and leave in the wake of that children that have been damaged by that. And then they repeat the cycle. And before you know it, marriage is devalued. And yet that runs completely counter to God's plan. And this is a hard one. There's a lot harder things in life than keeping a healthy, vibrant marriage going. It ain't that hard. So I'm ranting a little bit. I get that. It's been a long week. The Bible says that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and they become one flesh. That's God's plan for marriage. Man, leave your family. Go get a wife. Become one. What God has joined together, let no man separate, including the man and the husband. We don't have a lot right here, folks, in America. We think we do in our arrogance because we've got MasterCard and we've got Visa and we've got 3,000 square foot homes and we got Regal Cinema and we've got Olive Garden. We've got F-18s that can bomb the snot out of you. We can use economic sanctions to cripple your country. We think we've got it right, and we don't. This is the jingoism. This is the sadness in the Christian community. This is why you heard me a few months ago talk about, I'm not calling myself an American Christian. I am a Christian that happens to live in Oklahoma. I reject a great deal of what America stands for now. How can I embrace it as a Christian? How can you, if you're a Christian, embrace this? We're all very knowledgeable because I use this statistic and there's a danger in using it as often as I do because sometimes we become too familiar with it. It becomes it's like an old worn suit. It feels comfortable to us. But let the idea of 56 million dead babies wash over your conscience as a Christian and wave the flag and put your right hand over your heart and pledge allegiance to it. How can you do that? in good conscience? How? Call me at 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. I don't care anymore, folks. Truth is what is needed right now. You know, here at the Veritas Radio Network, this is what the whole channel has been developed for. Now, it may be completely rejected by the world. The United States, the listeners here in hashtag the Exceptional Union, may reject the Veritas Radio Network completely because it's about truth. And I'm not so sure even in the Christian community we want a real dose of truth. I like to think, I in my mind, I have a vision of Oklahoma being free. I have a vision of being able to take back control of our borders here and end the evil practice just on day one. There's a lot more to end to. I get it. But on day one, end the horror for 30 babies. Again, you're not going to want to miss the 3 o'clock hour. Sarah, her name is that I'll use, speaks in broken English because she's Chinese. I'm going to help her. But when you hear a personal story of what a government controlled by megalomaniacs will do if you don't stop it, you're gonna hear something very different. You're gonna want to get your friends to tune into this interview. Had a great interview yesterday with Steve. Why he's getting out. He doesn't see it as possible to fix this. He thinks the arrogance is so deep, even in the Christian community, the arrogance and pride is so deep that people will choose America over obedience to God. One of the questions I'm going to ask here in Oklahoma here soon is going to be, Oklahoman Christians, are you going to obey God or the Constitution? What if they're in conflict? Folks, even I don't care what state you're in. If you're a Christian and the Bible is in conflict with the Constitution, or more importantly, the Constitution is in conflict with the Bible, who do you obey? Who? The immediate answer, instinctive answer should be the Bible. I obey God. Choose you this day. Who will you obey? As for me and my house, I will honor the Lord. Oklahoma, who will you obey? Will you obey 5 of 9 politically connected attorneys in black dresses that routinely steal, sanction the death of innocents? Will you continue when you're admonished in Scripture not to? Does the nostalgic history of the foundation of America so overwhelm your thinking that the only conclusion you can come to is, I know God says that, but that's not how we do it here in America? Have we all been so brainwashed that we now are complicit in evil because we won't do anything? Oh, but Kresler's, I voted. Trump's the president. We got him in there. He's talking tough. And again, I will reserve judgment on President-elect Trump until he takes the presidency and starts acting. I have concerns just like you do, but I have some positives just like you do. Let's see what he does. We are way, way, way to the 40th degree, way past voting, hoping, and coping. Christian, hear me. If you think that's the extent of your responsibility, you will stand before God with that. You will. Not me. I'm doing everything I know to do. I don't know what else to do. If you've got ideas, call me at 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. If you think that fixing this mess is as simple as running to a poll and voting for Donald Trump, then you don't understand what the problem is. You still do not understand what the problem is. You still continue to live in a fantasy land, and it is a fantasy land, of the exceptional American Union. You turn your eyes away from the evil here. Why do you think I call it the bipartisan corrupt? Can anybody, nobody ever calls me because I don't think you, I think you agree with me. The absence of phone calls makes me believe you agree that this is a bipartisan corrupt and morally bankrupt de facto versus de jure, thus illegitimate, evil, national government masquerading as a federal government. I think everybody in the listening audience agrees with me on that because nobody ever calls, and even when I speak at different places, I use those terms, and nobody ever challenges them because down deep in your heart, you know they're true. Now the question becomes, are we going to do anything about it? Or are we just going to, are we going to live in some fantasy world that a vote matters? That voting in some national election circus really matters. I know this is a tough conversation, folks. And it could be just because it's the end of a long week and I'm tired. But at the same point, when I say things like Oklahoma, if the Constitution is in conflict with the Bible, which will you obey? To the Christians in Oklahoma, there can only be one answer. Well, Kreslin, that's just your interpretation of how things are. God created America. Don't you know that? Well, again, I say prove it. Because otherwise you've got a God that has created one heck of a mess over here. And how can that be consistent? How can the God of the Bible be the one who created this disaster? Oh, but Kreslin, I'm going to Regal Cinema tonight. There's a great new opening of something tonight. Olive Garden's got a bottomless buffet tonight. How can things, Christmas, how can things be so bad as you say they are? Because look at me, I'm driving my brand new car. I just went and financed it at 9% in 7 years. And I'm getting ready to upgrade to a 4,000 square foot home. That's success. That's, see folks, that's the sickness right there. Why is American exceptional? Because it can create a lifestyle on borrowed money. That isn't really true, because if you know how many people would be upside down in a matter of weeks if they lost their job, but they had to have that, because success in America is measured by what you own, what you can buy, where you can travel, what kind of car you drive in, and you know it's true. This is a country that is never satisfied with enough. It doesn't understand contentment at all. It's always upward and onward. It can never be content. No, because we got to keep the GDP growing at 2% every year because we need government budgets, our federal government confiscation of money from that GDP to grow every year. We need to peg an inflation rate of 2%. We have to have it. It's just all, it's a big shell game, and it's going to come crashing down somewhere someday. And sadly, we will not be in a position to respond in a way that honors God. More likely, we will cough up our liberties more. We will cough up more freedom. Well, I just want to feel safe. As long as you can keep Regal Cinema open and Olive Garden, I'll pretty much, you can take what you need. I know that simplifies, but you get my point. I hope. So yeah, am I being hard today? Yeah, being hard on myself, except I don't drink the Kool-Aid anymore. I don't weep when the flag is raised. I don't have those feelings anymore. They're gone. Why? Because I examined the facts. You Texans need to get out of the union. Lead the way. You're a big state. There's $1.2 trillion of GDP down there. You will be fine. Let us follow you. Here in Oklahoma, California, you need to continue down the road of getting away from this bipartisan corrupt morally bankrupt de facto versus de jure government needs to end. I don't care who the president is. It doesn't matter to me. This is time. Italy's doing it. Italy is going to change things big this weekend. Goodness gracious, why did the English beat us to this? What would Jefferson really say? I mean, I think he'd be so ashamed of who we are today. He'd probably, Patrick Henry would probably also say, I told you so in that Virginia ratifying convention. I told you not to ratify that Constitution. Look what you got now. Let's go to the phone lines here and talk to Sean in Arizona. Sean, welcome to the Mark Kreslin Show, a sobering Mark Kreslin Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. What's on your mind, Sean?
Well, no matter what you say, Mark, you're always going to have me. You can't run me off with a stick.
Hey, you know what? I may be down to just you and me talking right now.
Who knows? Out there, he won't come scared.
What's on your mind, friend?
Well, what you were saying about, you know, I ran out and voted in the national election.
Right.
And what I'm trying to, you know, when I talk to people, you can only imagine how much I run my mouth.
Yeah.
I try and tell people you need to understand your scope and sphere of influence in this world.
Mm-hmm.
People, I'm sorry, the phone's going to ring 40 times, I'm sure it's taken. That's why I used to love calling you at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
Until 5, and then it rings until 7 at night. But I tell people, you know, if you think about, if you just go back and start watching Little House on the Prairie, once you unplug all the cables out of your house, cut them, shred them,
then
the dish, knock it down, you can get the local thing on the TV, and sometimes you see the Waltons, and sometimes you see Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can start thinking about that scope and sphere of influence and what you can do, the real change you can make is basically as far as you can yell, mm-hmm. as far as you can swing, or as far as you can shoot, mm-hmm. until you get in your position, and then you get a radio show. And that's what I did. I wanted to expand because I think I have, and I don't have a cogent message. I just had to talk to people. You know, I had to expand my sphere of influence, sphere of influence for the English speakers. and I try and tell people, you know, I mean, I get that you know, would like everybody in America to wear your seatbelt. But if you want to wear your seatbelt, why don't you just wear yours and not worry about it?
Yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, why are you so concerned about it? And my story, I always have to take it to the absurd. I say, well, let's just say there's some, since you're so worried about ISIS over in some place, you probably can't find on a map.
Right.
What if there's a bomber and he's not, you know, he's a car bomber. What if he's not wearing his seatbelt, runs into a pole and kills himself? Are you worried about that guy? Oh, God, no. I go, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Maybe we can have a discussion.
No, you're right. And, you know, wait till you hear my 3 o'clock guest.
I know. Yeah.
It's going to be stunning. This is the end result of big government. Now, this is somebody that is from China, so she knows firsthand exactly what's going on over there. I'm telling you, Sean, and I know you agree with me, if we don't stop this thing soon, it is going to do exactly what the Borg does. It's going to assimilate everybody. It is going to choke the life out of everybody. And it now, are people eating in China? Are people drinking in China? Are they able to earn incomes? Yes, but to the degree the government allows for it. There's so many other stories that I'm learning about total government control that appears to be not total government control. And that's kind of where we're getting right now, total government control. But it kind of appears like it doesn't. Because why? Because we can still go to Regal Cinema, Sean. We can still go to Olive Garden. So, Kreslin's, Sean, how bad can things really be? You guys are just a bunch of naysayers. It's all you ever do is get on your stupid radio shows and talk about how negative and how bad things are. I'm going to Olive Garden. But isn't there truth to that, Sean?
Well, I pulled over to safely talk on my cell phone. I'm sure some law enforcement probably thinks that is unsafe too. And 7.5 feet, maybe 8 feet, I don't have my tape measure out, there's a chain link fence. I see it.
Yep.
I see the fence. And we're free range cattle, and what's going to happen in China happened here.
Oh.
You know, soon they will license people to get jobs. And this, I'm starting to read about what happened Greg was on my show. If you didn't hear Greg on my show, you talk about a raucous time between buddies. Greg was in Tucson, and he came in the studio. It was an absolute thrill.
Yeah.
What happened after the 17th Amendment, right after we took the Senate and gave it direct election by the people,
disaster.
After that comes the immediate licensing of people to do their work.
Yeah.
And I think when I explain to people, you know, all of the stuff I have to go through to drive a freaking truck.
I know.
And a
I know.
Forklift.
I
my
know.
My crane operator has to go through. You wouldn't even believe what it takes to run a crane now.
I wouldn't believe it, you know.
You know, it's absolutely ludicrous. My deal is this. Do I have the skill to do it through 30 years of practical field experience? Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then why do I need to prove it to you? My record speaks for itself.
Exactly. You know, and where are more of the what has happened to us, Sean, as a people? I mean, I have to say this with some humility in this regard. I used to think this way. There was a time. I don't think you did quite as badly as I did.
No, I did.
Okay.
No,
then what happened to you? What
happened to?
Yeah. What happened to you? What happened to me? That we bought into all this. What was the? Was it just the upward mobility of success that was in front of us that we could take advantage of here? You know, I had Steve on yesterday. I don't know if you got a chance to hear the show yesterday. It was a great conversation. But off the show, he and I continued discussing this, and I said, so Steve, let me ask you this: you're getting ready to move to a lower what would by American standards appear to be a lower standard of living down there in Ecuador. And I said, have you changed your mindset from equity to just appreciation for life? And because that's going to necessarily be the case down there. You're not going to have the upward mobility of influence. I mean, prosperity and affluence down there that you do here. And he said, Mark, that was critical. I had to get off the equity mindset. Because here in this, what defines our exceptionalism? That everybody can eventually get to a 5,000 square foot home. Or everybody, nobody can be, and what drives America forward is this incessant desire to materially succeed. Now, I'm not against materialism within its proper context. I mean, I like having a house with a roof over my head, and I enjoy having air conditioning. But that's not really the dirty little secret in my mind, Sean, of America. And I'm not suggesting we pass a law for any of this by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think we have to step back at times and be reflective and say, how have we contributed to the rise of this system of government that protects a way of life that may or may not really be a net benefit for everybody? Because you take the government out of this because you see this firsthand. And really what started me down this thinking was that stupid picture you sent me of that drift bomb. And I started thinking there. And I started thinking, you know, and I'm glad you did because it got me thinking, think of how many millionaires were made over there at that company.
Many.
To build these bombs. And so this system of government that perpetuates this, this myth of going forward materially, including the most expensive bombs and the most sophisticated bombs we can create. I think that somehow in there, Sean, it's affected our psyche as a human creation. The American exceptionalism is now how much can I get, including how much can I force other countries to embrace my exceptional way of life over here in America. You know what I mean? You think I'm onto something there?
You are, and we've been trained. I mean, the breaking point for me, I read a couple of, I mean, Atlas Shrugged was a real, Atlas Shrugged and Fountainhead, although a lot of people don't believe in the objectionism of Rand.
Sure.
Those two books really opened my eyes to the system of control, the laws, the things that they do to keep you in control. But one of the things that they use against you, And this is the thing. I mean, they trap you in school. They teach you to run to Walmart. And this thing that happens on Black Friday. I did not leave the house.
Good for you. Me neither.
I didn't.
Me neither.
I take it back. I went to a farmer's market. They had a Friday farmer's market. And I met a lot of people. I bought local raw honey. I bought, you know, fair trade coffee. I really started meeting some good people. And I realized that materialism that we do also is the threat they hold over us. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't pay your
yes.
taxes, they're taking that house that you really got to show up to the Joneses. And my new deal is, why would I want to keep up with the Joneses?
Right.
I don't even know them.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And, you know, as I was talking to Steve about this, you know, there's a simplicity to life in Ecuador. It's one of the things that appeals to him. Now, by no means, it's a socialist state. I asked him, I said, Steve, how do you reconcile the fact that this is far more of a socialist nation down there in Ecuador than it is here, though we're rapidly heading that way, and maybe we really are that way already. I said, how do you reconcile that? And it's these value propositions. What is the net gain for me to be down there? It's a simpler life. It's people that don't want to, you know, there is no Ecuadorian Seventh Fleet that wants to storm over and give France a licking and say, France, we want you to adopt the Ecuadorian way of life. They don't have that thinking down there. It's not even in their mindset. They're a rich energy country. They produce their own oil and refine it there. They value business. Family is much stronger down there. So there's a culture, there's a heritage down there of music and all that appeals to him so much so that he's willing to say, I know I can't have the financial gain down there that I can back here, but I want that trade-off because I don't want to be part of an imperialistic mindset or an expansionist government. I don't want to be caught up in materialism like it's so defined here in the exceptional American Union we have. And I thought it was just I've known Steve a long time, and to see him literally go from what you and I would describe and have been USA, USA, USA to I'm out of here. It was a fascinating exploration of his thinking. This guy's, he's got advanced degrees. He's a very bright guy. So it's not like it's just not whimsical on him to do this. He's planned, he's done everything right. But at the end of the day, he wants out.
I'll tell you, I meet a lot of people that want out. Not necessarily the country, but out of the system. I'm starting to meet more and more people that I'm part of the problem, because me paying this year, I'm going high. I'm going to go up over $70,000 in payments to various state, local, federal governments.
Wow.
I'm building better and better boxes to keep you in and your children.
Yeah.
And I'm contributing to that. And that's very difficult for me. I'm a freedom-minded guy, and I realize every time that I do flip over. Well, I don't have to flip over my check. I'm salary. But I know exactly what they take out of me every week, and I realize I am buying a little bit of that bomb. I'm buying a little bit of that F-18 or that Joint Strike Fighter or the stiff fleet that I was. I mean, I went with my kid. I actually been on a carrier. I've seen the multi-billion-dollar war machine in action, not in action, but I've seen it. You know, guts in, guts out. I've seen the whole ship. I see what we do, and I have some friends here that work in our crane company, or in our crane division. Two guys are actually from the interior of Mexico, done it the right way, got up here, got their papers, they're legal American citizens. And to both of them, we have conversations, and they say Mexico's much more free than here.
Yeah.
You live on your farm, and you will not be bothered. You get away from the drug towns, and you're free. The government doesn't come and tell you you can only grow this much corn, or
exactly.
You don't plow under your field, you'll get a big check, you know, and
right.
You can only grow this Monsanto corn, you can't grow this other corn, you can't grow that kind of cotton because that's the Monsanto cotton. You can only do this cotton this year, next year it's going to be this style of Monsanto corn. You know, he says, we grow our crops, we grow our goats, we traded as a child, we actually bartered and traded, and then we sold our stuff at the market, and we had a little bit of cash, and, you know, my pop would buy me a .22 rifle. I said, well, I didn't think you could have guns in Mexico. He goes, yeah, you can. That's American. He goes, it's folklore. Mexico is actually a more honest law enforcement system. When they pull you over, you give the guy $50 and you drive off. Here you go to court five times and they charge you $380.
Oh.
Your insurance goes up.
Yep.
First of all, it was a seatbelt, then it's a cracked window, and you were 2 miles over. It's a $700 deal, and by the time it's all done, your federal safety record, that I just found out today, our federal safety record goes up because one of my guys gets a seatbelt ticket.
Oh,
I'm like, what's the federal government got to do with my guy driving down the road in a little Kenworth, and he doesn't have a seatbelt on? It's a bad pullover anyway. It's an unlawful stop, in my opinion, in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm getting brought under the carpet because my guy got a seatbelt ticket. I go, it's a seatbelt ticket. Who cares?
Yeah.
No. federal government, FMCS something, or, you know, some alphabet soup thing. And now I'm in trouble because I didn't report the seatbelt ticket. And I'm like, well, what? You know, I told him, I said, I guess it's time for me to go. Time for me to fly, guys.
Well, I'll tell you, when Steve gets down there and gets settled in, I will stay in touch with Steve.
Because... I was going to say, send him Kenwood, like a 925 SA shortwave radio.
That's
he needs to broadcast from Radio Free Ecuador. I love it. On the Veritas Radio Network, Radio Free Ecuador, it's Steve, expatriate Steve.
Because I really am. If we can't get Oklahoma free in X number of years, I'm out of here. I can't continue this. And fine if people want to say, well, don't let the doors hit you on the rear end. And I'm going to say, well, you stay there and drink the blood of 56 million dead babies then, okay? You stick behind there and keep defending the legitimacy of a government ripping off $20 trillion out of future incomes. You stay behind there and drink the blood of innocent Iraqi children and other drone strike children that came at your taxpayer expense. You stay, so you can mock me all you want about don't let the door hit you in the rear end or love it or leave it. I don't love it. That's why I want Oklahoma out.
I'm with you. I mean, I continue to say two things you need to read about. Bonus Army.
Yep,
and the paying up of Americans in 1941, legitimized by the Supreme Court, by the way.
I know.
Legitimized, executive order, they penned up people that were different than you, and the Supreme Court, your buddies in the black dresses, legitimized that activity.
It's so sick.
It won't happen in America, though, Mark. I mean, no, it won't. They would never pen anybody up here.
Yeah, I know it, Sean. All right, brother, listen, I got to head out to a break. Thanks for calling, man. Good to hear your voice.
Sorry about that. Wow. Oh, good for calling you. Hey, remember, every day we walk at the peak of human existence.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. All right, my friend, I'll be in touch.
We're on it.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Careful.
That's Sean from Arizona. Call me, folks. I don't get into funks. I'm not in the funk. I guess this kind of happens when the lenses come off and the nostalgia and all the lies come off in your mind. You begin to realize this thing is sick. We are sick as a people. And especially this is deeply moving to me as a Christian. How, number one, I bought into this. And then, Lord, how do I help my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ get out of it? So I agonize genuinely. It's not just radio shtick. My heart really is heavy. When you hear the story coming up from Sarah, you're going to understand why. Because this is where we're going. We better get out of this thing now while we still have a chance. And not fool around about this. I'm not fooling around about secession. I am dead serious. Oklahoma, if you're listening, however many Oklahoma listeners there are, you need to make a decision. Are you going to obey God in the scriptures or that constitution that you believe is similar to the Bible? Because it ain't. Under this, hear me. Under the Constitution, as you think it's written, we've sanctioned the murder of 56 million innocent, undeserving babies. How's that for a constitution for you? How can you applaud that document and say that's the solution? It's not, folks.
5 seconds. Because you said you're not funked up, good for you.
Is that supposed to make me happy?
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling,
thanks, Christopher.
Living it up in the city.
You're listening to the Mark Kreslin Show here in the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.